Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, O Lord, have our hearts and minds stayed on you, and give us the message you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We have talked quite a bit already about the things going on in the country. We know that they don't seem to be getting better. God has given us several warnings, and he has given us warning after warning of the things to come. He has told us, and he told the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day, he says, you know how to discern the weather of tomorrow and of today, but you do not know the signs of the times, and you do not understand the signs that God has given you of all of these things. Some 750 years before Jesus was born, God told them that Jesus would be born of a virgin. God told them where Jesus would be born, and they understood that, but when Jesus was born, they did not recognize him, and they did not do anything about it. They were still, and still are, looking for the coming of Christ for the first time. Christ is coming the second time, and this time he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see that the gospel was given to us by the Jews because they did not accept it. So the Jewish missionaries, the disciples, went out into the land of the Gentiles, or the pagans, or the heathens, whatever you would want to call them, of that day, and they spread the kingdom of God. It says that the Gentiles were happy to hear the word. And many of the Jews today are saying, Jesus came to us. Therefore, he is ours. And we're saying, yes, that is true. But you rejected him. And therefore, he came to the Gentiles. And so the church age, or the age of Christ, however you want to call it, we see has been going for a little over 2,000 years. And through that, the gospel has been preached throughout the world. And throughout the world, Jesus said, you will start in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout the whole world. And they have done this. This word goes out today. If I was savvy enough to do no electronics, and I could probably use Bjorn to help me, we could probably broadcast this message throughout the known world today, or many, many parts of it, if they're willing to listen to the word. And we find this is what God has said. The word would go out to all the world, and the world will hear it. Not necessarily every person, because some people have shut their hearts and their minds to God, and have shut their hearts and minds to what he has to say. With this, I'm looking at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. Present your bodies. Yes, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And even as Christians, how many of us are doing this? Sometimes we want to look at it for ourselves. What am I going to get out of it? Nothing? Yes, I get eternal life. You see, God created the heavens and the earth, and the human being is the one he put his spirit in. He put his spirit in you and I, And he blessed us. And he says, when he made Adam and Eve, he says, we will breathe into them life. The life in which they could decide which way they wanted to go. We see, and we've seen the story of how the fall came, and we've seen the universe, and we've seen all of these things. God today is telling us. Jesus came a little over 2,000 years ago and walked on the land, and he showed us how to live a perfect life. One without hypocrisy, one without pride, one without what's for me, self-centeredness, selfishness. God gave. He says, he told his disciples at one point, let us go aside and rest a while. And the people seen where he was going, and they beat him there. And it says when they got there, they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't have time to do anything except to heal and to spread the kingdom of God and his righteousness to the people that were hungry for the word of God. Jesus tells later that if you follow me, you will do what I say. Many of them left him because they says, we cannot follow you the way you want us to do. We are following you because you are taking care of us. But they would not give their heart to Christ in the sense that he was the Son of the living God sent into this world to free them from sin like he has on the cross of Calvary for us. Christ paid that penalty of sin. He forgave all of us our sin. And he is saying today, present your body a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice, you remember that our bodies, because we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he is our temple. We are the temple of God here on earth. He's living in us. Jesus said, me and my Father will come and abide with you, and we will live in you. As a believer, as a Christian, true Christian, you have Christ in you. And in you, then you should want to live for him without blemish and without spot, without thinking evil, without thinking of yourself and saying, I am first. We must say God is first. And so as we go on, we find here that it is the mercies of God that we are a living sacrifice. We're holy. We're acceptable to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we willing to do that in our own lives? You see, Satan will do everything he can to stop us from believing in God. Satan will do everything he can, and he'll put little thoughts into your mind and into the things around you and say, you might say, oh, I think this is okay if I do this. It's maybe not quite right, but it's almost. We had a man some time ago, I've been told, who preached in this church. And that man said, occasionally white lies are okay. I was told we don't want that man back in our church. We want the truth. Let us live in the truth. Let us have our bodies be presented to Christ as sacrificial, and that we will be a complete sacrifice to him. That our inner being will be to God and to God alone. Because Jesus said, me and my Father will come and abide with you when you accept what I have done on the cross of Calvary. God's job, or what God wants you to do, is to believe in him and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This would make you then being a sacrifice unto God. Your bodies would be giving a given sacrifice unto God. We would not be conformed to this world. And Satan wants us to be conformed to this world. Satan wants us to see and want us to get what we can in this world. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Our thoughts are in eternity. Our thoughts are not on how much stuff can I get for myself, but what can I do for Christ to not only present him, but to further his kingdom and to have other people hear and realize that they too must come to Christ. In Isaiah, it tells us, "Hold, come, all you who thirst, all you who are hungry, come and buy without money. I will give you water, I will give you food," tells us in Isaiah 55. "I will give you this because you have me as your personal Lord and Savior." We find in Isaiah, or in Ephesians, I should say, God says, or Paul has told us, that it's by the mercy of God. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the will of God. It is God Almighty that sent his only begotten Son into the world." It's God Almighty who has said, "I want you for my son and my daughter. I want you to understand that the people that don't come to church has to see Christ in you." And with this pandemic, you know, when the 9/11, they said the church has become crowded for about 6 months. Everybody ran to church and they prayed. The pandemic come and is still here with us. Yet we don't see people coming to church. They're saying, "We must stay home, we must be isolated, we must do this, and we must do that." And we find that man is thinking of himself more than God and more than eternal life. Man is thinking of what he can do for himself and protect himself and himself alone. He's becoming self-centered and drawing into himself. And we find that these people will not turn to God. So as Christians, true believers in Jesus Christ, it is our job not only to pray for them, but to live such a life that our life would show Christ in us. I remember as a child, I was what they would call a hothead. There was 12 kids in our family. And those children, my brothers and sisters, had a tendency of purposely trying to make me mad to see what I would do. And I'd get mad. And I'd blow my stack, so to speak. And they thought it was funny. After I accepted the Lord and started walking with the Lord, my brother said to my sister, "You've lived with him and you're next to him for many years. You and him have gotten along good." And he says, "Is he sincere in his faith?" My sister said, wrote back, and she said, "You know how he was. Part of it because he was taunted by his brothers and sisters." And she said, "You know how he would be if you'd seen him today. You wouldn't know it was the same person." God got a hold of my heart. God got a hold of me. Have I made mistakes and done things I shouldn't? Yes. Do I need forgiveness every day? Yes. Do I need to pray every day? Yes. But God will use me, I pray, to use me in such a way that people will see Christ and glorify him. You see, if God can use me as an instrument to bring others into his kingdom, that's what matters. We are circumcised in the heart. We are circumcised in our spirit. As Paul tells us that the true Jew is not only circumcised in his heart, but he has Jesus Christ in his heart and in his life. Many of us, I've had people tell me, I'm not a Jew. But I tell you, Scripture tells you that if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it don't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile or who you are. You are a child of the living God. And if you're a child of the living God and you live for Him every day, He will bless you and watch over you. And if our physical bodies give out, He'll still be with us even unto the end. That even though we die, we will live forever because we live in eternity with Him. And when the first resurrection comes, we will be in that resurrection. God will call us out. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You see, God is telling us here in Romans to present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we go back to chapter 1, we find out how God has turned many people over to Satan because they would not listen to God. That they go against Him. God says, I've given them up to reprobate minds, or minds that believe a lie. I have given them up in many, many ways. And if they call upon Me, I will hear them, and I will heal them. Why should I be happy for the death of an evil person? I am not, He says. But if that evil man will return from his wickedness into righteousness, I will forgive him, and I will not remember his wickedness any longer. You see some of the things to show what's going on in the world today. I've been told that one of the latest fashions is for young people. They have these big parties, and they want to get where they test positive for a virus. And then they make a deal amongst themselves to go out and see who they can infect of older people. The young people are having big parties to have to get infected and then go to the older people and see how many they can infect. And they think this is fun and joyful, and they think this is the way that they should do it. Yes, we have young people that want to serve the Lord. They have been brought up in the admonition and nurture of God, and they are praying for revivals. Let us pray that Satan does not have his own way, but that God will move with His Spirit throughout not only us, but those that are not here and don't come, that they would seek Christ in us and glorify Him. You see, we can preach all day and we can tell about the things coming. Christ told the Pharisees and Sadducees, you don't see the signs of the times. Yet we see them all about us. And as we study the Word and as we see the things happening in the world, we find this COVID, this pandemic, as it's called. We see many lies in there. We see many false accusations. And we see that man is trying to do man's way. I was told I have a conceal and carry permit. And no, I don't have a gun on me. I know some people that do that in church. But I was told if you wear a mask in Minnesota, your conceal and carry permit is invalid. It's a way of gun control. One more step in the evil ways of the world and the evil ways in which God says, beware. It's a sign of the time of how Satan wants people to listen to him and to do his will. Satan will do everything he can. We find that Satan has taught and gotten the majority of the people, or enough of them, that they've made a law, Roe versus Wade. Abortion is for the woman. She can do what she wants. God says, no, that's not right. That's wrong. You're killing. We see in chapter 1 of Romans where homosexuality is prevalent. God says, I've given them up to reprobate minds because they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't do what they should do. They wouldn't come back. We find that in Canada and throughout many parts of the world today, children are born and the parents don't have the right to say if they're a boy or girl. We have to wait until that child gets of age. And then if he wants to be a boy this week and a girl next week, that's fine. We find that's not what God said. We find also that in the United States, they have had assisted suicide on pain. Person gets cancer, very painful. And so they say, I'll take this shot. You give me this shot, doctor, and I can get out of the pain. They go into eternity. Are they saved? Or do they go directly to hell? And the pain they realized in this life is nothing compared to separation from God the Father. Total blackness and darkness forever and forever. We can go on what Scripture talks about. God has told us these signs will go on and go on. They're signs of the times. We see that God has told us that I created the heavens and the earth. I am the one that did this. And yet he wants us then to accept Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. And in accepting that, we have him as our personal Lord and Savior. As true believers, we have Jesus. We take communion because we remember what he did for us on the cross. And as we take communion this morning, let us remember that also. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would watch over us and keep us. Help us, O God, to do your will. And help us, O God, to live for you day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 628. Thank you.